Welcome to the April 2026 News Bulletin podcast for yacht and small craft marine surveyors, put together by the International Institute of Marine Surveying. We open our podcast with an introduction from IIMS CEO Mike Schwartz. Dear member and fellow marine professionals, it troubles me once again that I feel the need to start this month's column by raising the topic of lithium-ion battery fires, especially as the story I want to share with you is a land-based one that happened recently and not a maritime disaster. You may know of my keen interest in this technology and the challenges surrounding it. The incident I want to speak about and share with you is a massive fire in the Scottish city of Glasgow. A major fire broke out in a vape shop adjacent to the city's main railway station. Over the coming hours, the fire devastated an iconic 130-year-old Victorian building, leading to its eventual collapse, so intense was the conflagration. The images are truly shocking and resemble something one might expect to see in a war zone. As the fire started, a passerby Good Samaritan used his own initiative and tried to tackle the flames. He said to the press, "I ran into the shop, and I saw a small fire under the counter. There was an adapter charging system, full of chargers, and that's where the fire was." The man rushed next door to the neighboring shop to get help. He came back with a fire extinguisher, entered the burning store and tried to fight the fire. But two explosions inside the vape shop meant he had to turn around, exit and shout at passers-by to get back. Whilst the man's intentions were remarkable and heroic, it should have been an immediate red flag. My advice to anyone faced with a similar situation would be never try and tackle a lithium-ion battery fire with a portable fire extinguisher, just move away to safety and call the emergency services. And here's my real issue. Many people remain unaware of the potential dangers that lithium-ion-powered devices present. Yes, we all have them, lots of them, and the majority are safe, but when one blows, it causes mayhem. Therefore, being aware of the risks is vitally important. The maritime sector has seen its fair share of significant fires in recent months, with yachts being destroyed, more likely than not caused by lithium-ion-powered devices, not yet substantiated or proven in some cases. That's the suspicion at least, and in some cases, we just simply will never know because the destruction is total. Following the start of a thermal runaway event, if it results in an ensuing fire, it is the speed with which the flames spread, the intensity and the heat that are the concerns. And it is now well documented that the toxic gas is released once thermal runaway activity starts, if inhaled, could be fatal. Fortunately, there were no casualties in the Glasgow accident. Compare that to the situation if a lithium-ion battery fire took hold on board a vessel at sea. The chances of survival could be minimal, depending on how fast a life raft or life-saving device could be deployed. I don't choose to write about this topic to deliberately shock anyone, but the reality is we must all obtain a better understanding of this technology, understand the basics of what can happen and ensure we have mitigation strategies in place should the worst happen. So, I will do all I can within my power to help people gain knowledge. It almost feels like my colleagues and I are engaging in a public service duty to the maritime industry, which, I might add, we are happy to do. Recently, I was contacted by the media group that publishes Maritime Journal and organizes the SeaWork show with an invitation to write an article. The result was toys and lithium-ion-powered devices can cause devastating marine fires, which coincidentally was published on the very same day as the Glasgow catastrophe. You can find this feature via the Maritime Journal website. In other news, IIMS is delighted to announce three essential training events taking place in the coming months. You can find more detailed information about all of them in this news bulletin, but in brief they are: Western Mediterranean Yacht and Small Craft Working Group, Palma Mallorca, on the 30th of April and the 1st of May, being held around the Palma International Boat Show. The next is our Practical Tonnage Measurement Training on the 19th of May, held at Itchener Sailing Club on the UK South Coast. And finally, Rigs, Mast and Sails, What Surveyors Need to Know, is scheduled for the 23rd of June. The morning session will give in-person attendees a rare opportunity to see inside the Selden Mast production facility at Gosport. And finally, this is a reminder to anyone involved in UK-based workboat sector who needs to become compliant with the Workboat Edition 3 code by early December 2026. So concerned, it seems, is the MCA about the number of vessel owners and operators who have yet to bring their vessel, or vessels, into compliance that they have issued a warning to the sector. You can read this press release in the bulletin, but certifying authorities are concerned about their capacity to process a flood of surveys, examinations in time to ensure vessels are not laid up, given there is no grace period beyond the 13th of December 2026. So act now is the advice. Survey well, Mike. For our first report, IIMS celebrates 35 years since its foundation. Happy birthday to us. Yes, this month the Institute celebrates 35 years since its foundation in 1991. As part of our celebrations, and as a bit of fun, we have mined our extensive photograph collection and have posted upwards of 400 images taken at various IIMS events and training sessions to showcase our work over the past years. Many of these images have never seen the light of day before. Perhaps you will see photos of people you know, or you might even find yourself featuring in one of the galleries. You can view the photograph galleries on our website. Up next, we have a number of training events coming up in the next few months, including the following. The Western Mediterranean Large Yacht and Small Craft Working Group Palma 2026, the 30th of April and the 1st of May. Your delegate fee includes a free VIP pass to the Palma International Boat Show. This year's presentations cover several topics from machinery inspections or things you see on survey that you can't make up, to lithium-ion battery fires. What we know so far, a non-technical presentation. You can attend this two-day event either in person or online for £195, approximately €225. Next, the IIMS tonnage measurement training on the 19th of May at Itchener Sailing Club, Chichester, UK. IIMS has been authorised and approved for many years by the UK Maritime and Coast Guard Agency to conduct the training and subsequent approval of tonnage measurers. Part 1 is an online theory course, available through the IIMS On Demand training portal. It provides a thorough explanation of UK tonnage measurement theory, including the background to tonnage and detailing the specific requirements and measurements, plus associated documentation necessary to successfully complete a tonnage measurement. This part costs £150. Part 2 is a remote practical assessment. If you want to become an IIIMS-approved tonnage surveyor and that can formally process tonnages through the Institute, you will need to also complete Part 2, the practical evidence-based assessment leading to formal authorization. You will measure and calculate tonnage on several vessels under the guidance of experienced surveyors. Your paperwork will be scrutinized and approval granted on successful completion. This part costs £185. Finally, rigs, masts and sails, what surveyors need to know, will be held on the 23rd of June at Selden Mast, Gosport, UK. You are invited to join IIMS for a day of knowledge sharing on the subject of rigs, masts and sails. Selden Mast is the UK subsidiary of the world's largest manufacturer of mast and rigging systems, specialising in aluminium and carbon fibre spars for dinghies, keelboats, and yachts up to 82 feet. As a major facility, it produces, designs, and distributes, holding a strong reputation for high-performance, custom rigs used by Olympic sailors and leading boat brands. You will be given a rare tour of the production facility and a presentation from technical members of the Selden Mast team. Space is limited as we only have space for a maximum of 20 in-person delegates for the morning session. This course costs £210 in person and £125 for the afternoon online session. You can find all free courses at iims.org.uk/events. Next, workboat owners and operators with vessels requiring a survey by December 2026 are being urged to act now to avoid missing the deadline for transition to the updated Code of Safety Standards. The message is being issued jointly by the Maritime and Coast Guard Agency and the Workboat Association to those affected by transitional arrangements to the Workboat Code Edition 3 ending on the 13th of December 2026. The aim is to avoid demand for surveys at the end of the year causing a shortage of slots, and the potential for vessels having to be tied up while they wait to be seen by certifying authorities. Affected vessels will be among those currently holding 5-year certification under previous codes, including the Brown Code, its equivalent standard published in MGN 280M, or Workboat Code Edition 2, Amendment 1. Transition to Workboat Code Edition 3 permitted vessels to meet requirements by the vessel's next renewal examination or 3 years after the date of entry into force of the code, on the 13th of December 2023, whichever is later. It means that the 13th of December 2026 is when the first cohort of vessels not to have transitioned to the new code must have secured the correct certification to remain active. The advice from the MCA and Workboat Association is, check the code, prepare the vessel, book the survey. In our next report, stern trawler Opportune sank in 2024 due to rapid and uncontrolled engine room flood, said the Marine Accident Investigation Branch in a final report. The skipper's decision-making skills and the crew's training meant all of Opportune's 8 crew were rescued uninjured from the vessel's life rafts by Coast Guard helicopters. Unfortunately, the vessel was not recovered. Alongside the investigation report, the MAIB released a safety flyer to the fishing industry highlighting that on average, over 7 fishing vessels are lost every year due to flooding. It also urged fishing vessel owners to have a maintenance plan for their vessel's seawater pipework to ensure that it is routinely inspected and, if necessary, tested. The saltwater environment is very corrosive, and hot-dipped galvanized pipework has a limited life, so replacement should be expected over a 20-year vessel operational life. What happened? At about 05:30 on the 24th of March 2024, the 23.95 meters UK registered stern trawler Opportune foundered 36 miles east of Lerwick, Scotland. Opportune's 8 crew were later rescued uninjured from the vessel's life rafts by Coast Guard helicopters. Around 45 minutes before Opportune foundered, the mate had gone to the engine room to investigate a bilge alarm and found water ingress that had reached the level of the vessel's gearbox. The mate immediately informed the skipper and they went together to the engine room a few minutes later, but decided it was unsafe to enter the space as it was filled with white odorless vapor. Opportune's crew abandoned ship into the life rafts and the vessel foundered shortly afterwards. The investigation determined that Opportune foundered due to an uncontrolled engine room flood. The source of the flood could not be definitively established, but the most likely cause was failure of the vessel's seawater pipework, some of which could have been in place since the 26-year-old vessel was built. There was no opportunity for the flood to be contained or controlled once the engine room became unsafe to enter because Opportune sea inlet valves and electric bilge pumps could not be operated from outside the space. Faced with a rapidly sinking vessel, Opportune skipper raised the alarm and the crew abandoned ship in good time. The safety issues identified were, the vessel foundered due to a rapid and uncontrolled engine room flood. The source of the flood could not be established. The most likely cause was a failure of the vessel's seawater pipework, parts of which were ferrous, over 20 years old and difficult to inspect. Corrosion might have gone unnoticed. The crew were unable to control the flood because seawater inlet valves were not easily accessible and electric bilge pumps could not be operated from outside the space. Faced with a rapidly sinking vessel, the skipper raised the alarm, and the crew abandoned ship in good time. You can find the full report via the IIMS website. For our next segment, Italian Marine Industry Association Confindustria Nautica presented its annual market report, offering an analysis of the sector's performance and future trends. According to La Nautica in Cifre Monitor, Trend 2025-2026, Boating in Figures Monitor, Market Trends 2025-2026, produced by Confindustria Nautica's research department in collaboration with Fondazione Edison, the industry generated over 13 billion oars in added value in 2024 and employed approximately 168,000 people, reflecting a 5.6% increase in employment. La Nautica in Cifre Monitor, Trend 2025-2026 serves as the sector's primary statistical reference, providing insights into market trends, production dynamics, and the international positioning of Italian boating. In our next update, UK boat builder Sunseeker has recently celebrated a defining milestone in the company's history as the first lamination of hull number 1 of the new 134 superyacht commenced at its dedicated superyacht facility in Poole, Dorset. The first lamination represents the skill and commitment from hundreds of colleagues across the business. The build process will use in excess of 100 qualified boat builders. It is reported that hull number 1 of the 134 superyacht will come off the line for testing in April 2027 and eventually make her way to her owner on the west coast of the US. Up next, European boating industry says it welcomes the launch of the first ever EU Industrial Maritime Strategy, a landmark initiative by the EU Commission to strengthen Europe's maritime industries, support innovation and sustainability, and reinforce the competitiveness of Europe's recreational boat and yacht sector from builders to propulsion and equipment manufacturers and the refit sector. The strategy highlights the strategic importance of maritime manufacturing and confirms Europe's strong position in technologically advanced maritime manufacturing segments, highlighting recreational craft and yachts, clean propulsion and refit where European industry holds global leadership. The Commission notes that Europe is still a global leader in some of the most technologically sophisticated ship types, including yachts and recreational craft, clean propulsion systems and advanced equipment, underlining the sector's role as a key contributor to Europe's maritime industrial base and innovation ecosystem. It also noted that subsegments, such as nautical tourism, have an important innovation potential to enhance their sustainability. In addition, the Commission confirms that the evaluation of the Recreational Craft Directive will assess the regulatory framework for novel propulsion systems and innovative watercraft, helping ensure that EU legislation supports innovation and the transition to more sustainable boating. For our next story, the second African Boating Conference is scheduled to take place in Cape Town on the 20th and the 21st of October following the successful inaugural edition in October 2025, which reached full capacity. The two-day conference is focused on Africa's boating, marina and blue economy sectors and is structured as a platform for industry participants to examine market conditions, regulatory frameworks and development opportunities across the continent. The 2026 edition will again be hosted in Cape Town. Next, these Recreational Craft Sectoral Group, RSG, guidelines are primarily intended for use by the notified bodies, manufacturers of boats and equipment and market surveillance authorities and provide critical support in terms of compliance to the EU's Recreational Craft Directive and the UK's Recreational Craft Regulation's essential requirements. Given the scope of the RCD and the variety of different types of watercraft, PWC, and components, the RSG guidelines make an assessment of the relevant harmonized standards which can be applied, identify where there are potential gaps and provide support where no standards are available to ensure that compliance with the RCD essential requirements, which are mandatory, are met. It should be noted that these RSG guidelines will form part of the RCD evaluation study and review process and remain an important tool for all stakeholders engaged in the recreational marine sector. You can download the guidelines via iaams.org. For our next story, Argentina has become the latest country to accede to the 2012 Cape Town Agreement, triggering its entry into force in 12 months. The agreement has met the requirements for entry into force and will enter into force in February 2027, closing a long-standing gap in the global maritime safety framework. It sets out mandatory safety standards for more than 45,000 fishing vessels of 24 meters in length and over, according to FAO data, helping to prevent casualties, improve working conditions for fishers, enhance competitiveness and protect the marine environment. In our next segment, Aquarius Marine Coatings, the manufacturer of Coppercoat Antifoul System, is launching a new 100% plant-based epoxy resin base. Their latest innovation replaces the resin base with a bio-based version, thus carbon emissions are reduced by 34%, saving 205 grams per mole of CO2 for every 500 grams per mole of Coppercoat resin produced. Next, Axopar has announced its entry into the Aura Blockchain Consortium. This collaboration marks the arrival of the nautical sector in an ecosystem already active in luxury goods and watchmaking. The aim is to create a digital passport for each boat, designed to structure data over the entire lifespan of the craft. The issue of traceability and reliability of information is becoming central to pleasure boating. Axopar is taking a step forward by joining the Aura Blockchain Consortium, with the announced launch of a digital passport for its boats from spring 2026. An initiative that goes beyond customer relations to touch on broader industrial issues. The Aura Blockchain Consortium, already active in the luxury, fashion and watchmaking sectors, welcomes for the first time a player from the boating industry. The arrival of Axopar marks an extension of this data management model to a sector where product life cycles are long and information is often fragmented. For the marine industry, this rapprochement is a signal. It shows that the issues of traceability, authenticity and asset tracking are now on a par with those of industries that have historically been more structured in these areas. From spring 2026, every Axopar boat will be equipped with a digital product passport. This passport creates a secure digital identity for the unit, bringing together information previously scattered between paper documents, dealer databases and direct exchanges with the shipyard. Factory specifications, certificates of authenticity, warranty status and ownership documents are integrated into a single environment, accessible via a smartphone. Access is gained by reading an NFC chip embedded in the cockpit. Blockchain and immutable data, the challenge of trust. The choice of the Aura blockchain anchors this data in a register designed to be tamper-proof. For Axopar, the stakes are twofold. On the one hand, to secure the information for the current owner. On the other, to guarantee its reliability for successive resales. In a second-hand market that structures the value of boats, the ability to trace the history of a product becomes an important lever. The digital passport enables a formalized transfer of ownership, with verified information, without relying solely on declarations or scattered documents. In addition to administrative documents, the digital product passport is designed as an evolving interface between the worksite and the owner. Eventually, it should incorporate maintenance recommendations, service histories, care tips, and community features. For professionals, worksites, distribution networks, and after-sales services, this type of tool opens the way to more detailed management of unit tracking. It also raises the question of future interoperability with dealers, workshops, and insurers. For our next story, San Lorenzo has published its 2025 financial report highlighting an order intake of €943.1 million, a 16% year-on-year increase. The Italian shipyard explained the €130 million uplift compared to the previous year was driven by the success of extraordinary new model launches and enduring brand desirability and strengthened distribution in the MED, APAC and US. Its preliminary consolidated results also said the company's group net profit also rose by 4.2% to €107.4 million. The company reported an order backlog €1.96 million, of which 88% of orders are secured by final clients. In 2025, San Lorenzo unveiled the new diesel-electric 58 steel superyacht, the hybrid electric propulsion San Lorenzo Heritage Model SHE, and its newest flagship superyacht 74 steel. You can read the full report at www.sanlorenzoyacht.com. For our second-to-last story, the UK Marine Accident Investigation Branch has appointed Rob Loader as its new chief inspector. Rob replaces Andrew Moll OBE, who retired last month after 21 years' service at the MAIB. Rob brings a wealth of experience to the role, having worked as an engineer officer on board oil tankers, cable ships, ferries and superyachts before moving into fleet management, ship repair and project management. After training in heavy engineering ashore, Rob joined the Merchant Navy and served as an able seaman and motorman while completing a rating to officer conversion course. Upon qualifying, Rob was promoted to engineer officer and served on a variety of vessels including oil tankers, cable ships, ferries and superyachts, and attained the rank of chief engineer. Rob moved into fleet management and then into ship repair, ship build supervision and project management. After a period of consultancy to the marine industry, Rob joined the MAIB in 2020 as an inspector, progressing to principal inspector and then deputy chief inspector before taking up his current role. Rob is a chartered engineer, marine engineer, and a fellow of the Institute of Marine Engineering, Science and Technology. And for our final story, Sunseeker has confirmed it has secured new owners. A debt purchase from the existing lenders by a consortium led by KCP, in partnership with Lionheart Capital, was completed earlier this year, with the KCP Group also shortly entering into an agreement to purchase 100% of the shares in Sunseeker. This is a significant milestone, one that provides the financial stability and long-term commitment the business needs to deliver on its ambitions. It follows a series of recent capital investments in the business as Sunseeker prepares for its next chapter of growth. KCP was established in 1952 and has teams in New York, London, Singapore, and Washington, D.C. It has deep investment experience and is making a long-term commitment to investing in Sunseeker's future. KCP is fully supportive of Sunseeker's existing business plan, which includes investment in next-generation product development, the reintroduction of a superyacht offering, and transformation of the operating model. KCP is committed to further investment across Sunseeker's brand, operations, products, customer experience, and people with the goal to make it the best producer of yachts in the world. As part of this transition, Scott Miller is stepping down as interim CEO and Andres Rubio will become permanent CEO. Andres has a 30-year track record in commercial leadership and business transformation across the US, Europe and Asia. He was most recently the CEO of Intrum AB, a publicly listed pan-European credit management business, and prior to that served as a senior partner at Apollo Management International. Anthony Sheriff will become non-executive chairman. Anthony has been a board member of Sunseeker since November 2024. He has deep luxury yachting and automotive industry experience and was formerly the executive chairman of Princess Yachts and prior to that, the CEO of McLaren Automotive. That's all we have for this month. Thanks for listening.